Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you.
Good morning, Hillside Church. My name is Thomas Rulin, and it is my honor and privilege to be able to share the word of God with you here this morning. And, you know, Brad did an amazing job of sharing a little bit of background about me. You know, to catch you up on the last 10 years or so, since then, I have married my beautiful bride of 2 years, Jillian, who's in the front row there with me. And, yeah. And we are expecting our first child in 5 weeks from today. And so I'm excited to be with you. And as Brad mentioned, I am a pastor of a small congregation of young adults in the city of Calgary. And Brad invited me here this morning to preach. And it's my hope that we would be encouraged and challenged by the word of God in how we use our tongue. And as Brad mentioned, I did not grow up Christian. And so what I'm sharing today comes from a place of using the power of words all the wrong ways, to manipulate and bring death rather than life. But the Lord taught me early on as a believer to use my tongue to build up and to edify others rather than to get ahead in life or to tear other people down. And I remember this particularly came to a head in my life shortly after I graduated high school, when I started losing friends like left, right, and center. You see, I only saw value in people for what they could do for me. And so when they stopped being useful to me, I would, you know, kind of speak harshly about myself, you know, coaxing out just a little bit of sympathy for my case. And they would give in a little bit longer, but eventually they would refuse to give in more. Then a fallout would happen, and I would just simply move on to my next victim. And you see, this was the norm for me in the house that I grew up in, and so it became the norm in my own life. I sort of like reflected the life that I grew up in. But you see, in today's scripture, in the book of James, which is known as kind of like the gut punch book of the New Testament, really, we are challenged to understand the power that our words have and to use them to bring life and not death. And so with that, let's read the main passage for today's scripture and take a moment to pray before we get into it. It's from James chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, and you can follow along in your Bibles with me. It says this, it says, "Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. The tongue, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest it's set on fire by a small spark." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. May it direct our lives. May it challenge us. May it edify us. May it encourage us, Lord. And I pray that as I share that, it would be your word that I'm sharing, Lord. And help us to learn how to apply this word into our lives here this morning and in our weeks to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in 2013, I encountered someone who spoke differently than me, quite significantly. This person, he just lived life differently, and you could tell by the way he spoke and the way that he gave you the room. Like, he wasn't distracted with his phone when he was talking to you. He gave you the room. And he genuinely cared to know about who I was. And I remember, you know, hanging out with somebody at the time, and I was like, yeah, like, you know, do they really care that much? And they're like, yes, he actually cares that much. His words were humble, his questions often insightful and challenging. The guy never cursed me out when I spoke harshly to him or tried manipulative behavior. He was not swayed. Clearly, there's a contrast between how I was living my life and how this Christian guy was living his life. And it frustrated me at times, and it challenged me in how I was living my life. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 complements this reality when Jesus says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And you see, before we talk about how we're going to use our tongue and the power of it, we need to take a step back and understand what is the source that's feeding it. And so my first point is this. My first point is the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so we need to look inwards because our words are a symptom of what's in our hearts. Mine at that time was full of trauma and worry for what would I owe this person, you know, if I just asked them for help. And so instead I'd be like, okay, you know what, I'm going to do these things to try to get them to offer that help for free. And then, oh, you know, I get away scot-free, right? But, you know, this guy that I knew, got to know, his joy came from a source that wasn't based on his circumstance. And I was like, how does he do that? How? Right? And as I think about characters in the Bible that modeled this, I think about Stephen in the book of Acts chapter 7. And while he was being stoned to death in the very moments, his final moments in life, the only words that he could speak were words of life, love, forgiveness, because his heart was so full of Jesus that when he was being stoned to death, all he could say is, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Reflecting the words of Jesus on the cross. It was so clear that Jesus was in every corner of his heart, that when that was pressed, the only thing that could come out was Jesus, forgiveness, his character. And you see, God is sovereign over every circumstance, and I know we know that, yet sometimes I know when things don't go my way, you know, bad politicians get in, hard things happen to us, we speak out curses instead of asking how the Lord might be wanting us to remain steadfast in love, like Stephen did. And in those times where we find ourselves cursing God because of our circumstance isn't what we want, we ought to look inwards in our heart with Jesus to reflect and consider if there's a part of our heart that we still need to surrender to Jesus so that he can redeem it, he can heal it, every corner of our heart. Because sometimes there's just that one corner. It's like, yeah, Jesus, you can have all me. Ah, but that corner, you don't want to go there, right? And then people press that button, and it comes out in the way that we speak, in the way that we act. And so we need to look inwards and consider, do I need to surrender that part of my heart to Jesus still? Or again, maybe for the second or third time? Because so often in that place, in that dark corner, is a fear or a lie that we are believing that needs Jesus' touch. And here's the thing. Jesus wants to redeem that part of your heart. He wants to bring healing and wholeness to that place of you. And it's so good when we surrender that to our heart, like Stephen, because, you know, if Stephen's heart hadn't been fully transformed, I wonder what it would have been like for a guy named Saul of Tarsus, who was there holding the coats, watching what was happening. But thank the Lord that Stephen's heart was full of Jesus, because Saul later became Paul, and I wonder what part that might have had to play. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus isn't in your heart at all if you've ever been mad at God or struggled with your circumstance. But what I would ask is, have you given that part of your heart to him? Or is there a part of your life that you've not invited Jesus into that shows when someone presses that button? You know, maybe it's your kids, you know, they just know how to press that button, right? Maybe it's that friend that gets on your nerves or that situation you can't control, but you want to, and it shows in the way that you speak. So have you surrendered every part of your heart to God? Because he wants it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, sometimes I understand it's not because of what's been lying in that dark corner of our hearts, but actually because of what we've been feeding our hearts at times. What are you feeding your heart throughout the week? You see, my wife and I, we love to watch food shows like Top Chef. And in fact, you know, when we go on vacation, like, we select hotels based on, like, yeah, that's great. You have, like, the jacuzzi and the free massages, but do you have the Food Network? Because, like, we need to watch, you know, Top Chef and all those food shows. It's just, it's fun and invigorating seeing them, you know, challenge each other. And, you just get such great ideas, right? Well, recently, Netflix put out 2 seasons of Top Chef. And we're like, oh my gosh, we got to watch this. And I'll confess to you, we did kind of binge it a little bit. And, you know, it's crazy how much watching that one show impacted our hearts and our cooking, and therefore kind of our stomachs, right? We decided after watching probably a little too much of it that we were gonna try to cook ramen from scratch. Now, something to know about my wife is that she is celiac, which means gluten-free is her life. And so, you know, it's like, okay, we gotta find the right kind of noodle and all this stuff, but we're still gonna cook the base and everything from scratch. And so, you know, that's what we did. We had a big pork loin in our freezer that had been sitting there for a few months, and we hadn't had any idea what to do about it until this came along. We're like, oh, that's great. Pork is great in ramen. You know, we'll use that as our, you know, kind of base meat. And we spent our whole Canada Day experimenting with our own homemade recipe and cook ideas. So we kind of took a bunch of recipes and put it together as if we were experts in ramen. And, you know, I gotta say, it actually turned out pretty decent considering. Although I admit we probably would have been sent home from Top Chef because the meat was maybe just a little overcooked. But, you know, just like watching the show impacted our cooking, what we put into our hearts impacts our spiritual lives, and by default, the words we speak. And I think so often, we starve ourselves spiritually throughout the weeks by only taking in a sermon on Sunday and binging many other, you know, neutral or maybe even unhealthy things, whether music or TV or literature. And by the time Saturday gets around, our speech is so different. We're like, man, like, where did I go off this week? You know? What would happen if we made it a priority to feed our hearts Jesus every single day? Through prayer, through worship, podcasts, sermons, rich spiritual conversations, right? Like, I love that company is coming, right, idea. It's like, that's amazing. Like, man, what would it look like to feed your heart spiritually deep conversations as you're getting to know another person in your church? What's Jesus done in your life? Man, that'd be a beautiful thing. Or does our week look like garbage in, garbage out? Because the reality is it, our heart, we can choose what we want to feed it. And so we can feed it garbage or Top Chef, or we can feed it Jesus, right? Not that Top Chef is bad, our bodies were well fed, but what are you feeding your spirit? Or are you feeding it? Is it starving? Let me tell you, Jesus wants to feed you, your spirit, with good nutritious things, right? The woman at the well is like, I'll give you the water of life. You'll never thirst again. She's like, amen, right? And so it's like, are we doing that in our walks throughout the week? Monday through Saturday, or is it just a Sunday thing? Because let me tell you, this guy that I knew, he was clearly fed by Jesus. So what is your heart full of? Secondly, my second point is that our words have the power to direct our lives. Right? We're known by what we say and what we do. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23 in the NASB says, one who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from many troubles. Let me tell you, have your words ever gotten you into trouble before? What Brad didn't share at this service is that when I was at Young Adults, oh boy, did I talk. Oh, I had no problem sharing my thoughts. And they weren't always great, that's for sure. And he can attest to that. But one who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from many troubles, right? We so often see celebrities saying things and getting canceled, and it feels like you have to be so sensitive in today's culture, right? Because, you know, people are getting canceled left, right, and center, or politicians removed for dishonest words, right? We see the power that words have, right? Because here's the thing, a politician doesn't just start a war by just starting war. He or she first declares war with his tongue, right? Words have power. They can change the environment we're in. They can change our lives. James 3, 4 to 5, as we read earlier, it says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by what? A small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. And though our words may seem small, they actually have the power to make big changes and directional changes, like the rudder of a ship. And you might be here being like, okay, but Pastor Tom, I'm in landlocked Alberta. I don't know much about ships. And so maybe a better analogy is that, or another way to phrase this, is that our words are like the front tires of our car and our heart is the steering wheel. Our words direct the vehicle of our life, like the front tires drive the direction of the immense force of a car, right? They can drive you into the ditch, or they can keep you on the road, depending where you're pointing your tires, right? And that's the reality, is that our words, they're not neutral. They're either poison or they're fruit. You know, we see this in characters like Martin Luther King, who spoke a powerful speech and set the direction and course of his life around that, right? His life was changed because of words that he spoke. A nation was changed because of words that was spoken by him. And Jesus's words during his time here on earth set the direction of his life. In fact, he was crucified for what he said and what he did. In our lives, right, when I married my wife, Jillian, I made vows to her. I spoke words to her, and that set the direction of our married life together. Hey, here's what you can expect from me. I will love you through sickness and health, and better or worse, for as long as we both shall live. And I gave her a ring as a reminder of that, as a symbol of that commitment. And likewise, she did the same to me. And that's the standard I've committed to being held to. And that set the direction for our marriage. Because if she said, like, okay, I'll love you as long as you bring me ramen on Canada Day, well, then Canada Day is going to look really, really different than what we might have done last year or the year before that, right? And so our words set the direction of our lives. They can steer us in a different direction. And our words reflect our walk with Jesus, just like mine showed I was not walking with Jesus. And my Christian friend's words showed he was walking with Jesus very closely. See, before I was Christian, when I started losing these friends, I didn't want to lose these friends, but my words and my attitudes caused that because they were often poisonous. I eventually got a reputation as the guy who would treat you poorly the moment you stopped doing what I wanted you to do. How I spoke to people really did drive the direction of my life right into the ditch of loneliness. And so if that's you, hey, there's hope. I want you to know there's hope. And so what do we do? How do we guard our mouths and our tongue to save us from the many troubles as the Proverbs would suggest? Well, classically, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak, which means, okay, how do we be slow to speak? It means that everything we say, we filter through God's word and ask, does this line up, Lord, with your heart? Does this line up with your word? Or is this going to take me in a direction that I shouldn't be going, that my flesh wants to take me? See, if you're a pilot, there's this rule called the 1 in 60 rule that states starting out 1 degree off means you will wind up 1 mile off 60 miles later. So if you start and your nose is 1 degree off and you take off and you fly 60 miles, you're going to be a mile away from your destination. And the same is true with our words and with the tongue. Small deviations, especially early on, can lead to massive misses down the line. And you might be here being like, yeah, but it's just this one thing. Yeah, but what's that going to lead towards? How's that going to lead you towards Jesus or away from Jesus? We need to consider how we can use our words to walk in the direction that Jesus is calling us to go, rather than the way that our flesh might want to drag us. Because our words steer our ship. And so if you're not liking the direction your life is going or where you've ended up, maybe consider the way that your speech has played a part in impacting the direction of your life. And try comparing that to how the Word of God calls us to live and to speak and to say, Lord, like, does this line up? Or should I hold my tongue? Or should I change the way I'm saying this, Lord, to reflect your love and your beauty and your goodness? Because I want to go towards Jesus and not away from him. The third point is that we can impact the lives of others with our words. So it's not only just for ourselves. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And, you know, as a child, I often wished I could fly like a bird or swim like a fish. And, you know, I wondered why God didn't give us this ability. Like, we're supposed to be this, you know, like, so much cooler and bigger and more awesome creature, right? And yet, I don't get to fly naturally or swim like a whale. What the heck, God? You know, I was confused. But here's the thing. God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us something that no other creature or being has except himself. He gave us our intellect and the ability to communicate through words thoughts, abilities, emotions, ideas through this gift of speech, which impacts the relationships around us. No other creature has this ability to say, okay, this is what I want the room to look like, you know? And then it happens because you're communicating with words. Right? It's a wonderful gift from the Lord. So not only is our speech a symptom of what's going on in our hearts and impacts our own lives, but it is intended and meant to impact those around us, those relationships around us. So we need to consider, okay, how do I steward this gift, Lord? This is a gift from you. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Well, something to know about ships is they have this thing called a wake. Okay, and so what a wake is when you're driving a boat, it's in the stern, depending how fast you're going, your motor will make a secondary wave that often kind of goes away from the ship on the backside. And wakes can be really powerful things because all those props are spinning so fast, it creates this turbulence in the water, right? And they're a really powerful thing. And there's places where you want to have a wake and places you don't want to have a wake. When you're in really rough seas, you want to make a wake because it'll actually cancel out the waves that are incoming and it'll kind of flatten the water and make it a little bit safer for those smaller boats to trail behind you. But you don't want to make a wake in a harbor where there's all these little boats, and especially if you're a big one, you're going to crush those things with the power of your wake. And so you need to understand that, you know, there's times and places. I certainly need to learn this, right? Because this was a big part of both what I call my BC life, my before Christ life, and my after death AD life with Christ. See, before Christ, I knew how to make just a big enough wake to get people to go in the direction I wanted them to. But after I became a believer, God very strongly and quickly course corrected me on this when I first read these words in James. And he taught me how to use my words slowly over time to build up and to encourage, to edify, exhort, and bring peace. I remember very clearly a powerful encounter I had with God when I read these words. And he said, Thomas, up till now you have used your tongue to tear down and get what you want. It is not so now. You were bought at a price. Therefore, your tongue is to be my instrument now to bring life and wisdom and healing. And that has directed and guarded my life up to now. At the end of verse 5 in James chapter 3, it says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small, tiny spark. Right? So what God is saying is that through this verse to believers is that our words can have a majorly big impact, especially when empowered by His Holy Spirit. We can make a big difference, just like this Christian friend made a big difference in my life. And the reality is that if Jesus has built you up and his word is directing your life, how can you use that gift to encourage those around you when empowered by His Holy Spirit? Share words that are fruit and not poison, words that build up, words of prophecy, of healing, encouragement, words of knowledge, love, discipline, and self-control. Maybe it's just visiting or inviting that lonely elderly neighbor over or signing up for that art thing at the care center there, right? That sounds so fun. My wife's like, oh man, too bad my mat leave hasn't started yet. She would be over there in a heartbeat, right? So maybe you can use your words to just encourage that person who's lonely, inviting that neighbor over who maybe doesn't know the Lord. They might think it's weird, but that's okay. You can be a little weird for Jesus. One of our young adults, we do young adults on Tuesday nights, and on Wednesdays she would go to work, and often her coworkers would say, oh, well, what did you get up to last night? And she'd say, oh, you know, I went to young adults, and our pastor was talking about this or that, or whoever the speaker was that week. And they'd say, oh, that's interesting, tell me more. And so every week, Wednesday morning, it became this routine, like, what did you learn last night through your young adults, right? Even with her 40-year-old coworker. And week over week, this became the thing until it opened up a door for her to say, hey, do you want to just, like, come and hear this live? It seems like you are really interested in the notes I'm taking. Why not just come with me to church on Sunday? And he was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. Right? Our words can really make an impact. And maybe that's why you need to go and apologize for that wrongdoing you did all those years ago. You might think, oh, that was 10 years ago. Let me tell you, words of healing can come 15, 20 years later. And it's powerful when that person comes to you with no prompting aside from the Holy Spirit saying, I need to apologize for this thing 10 years ago. And they might not remember, but the Lord knows. And they would be encouraged. They'd be like, wow, like you're a person of integrity. Thank you for apologizing. Or maybe it's encouraging that coworker who's experiencing grief or divorce or hardship, and it's just being with them in that grief and saying, I don't have the answers, but I'm here with you. I don't know why this is happening. That sucks. I'm really sorry. Can I sit with you? Can I lift you up in prayer? Is that okay? Because like I know a God who cares deeply about you, who loves you. My Christian friend often spoke and led his life in all the ways described above, and it truly showed Jesus to me. My heart was so hard, but this person, through his persistent words and actions of love, softened that. And here's the reality. Jesus declared people healed by his word, which was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says in John chapter 1 that God's word became flesh and dwelt among us. By God's word, he created the world. He spoke and it came into being. And he's saying, you have this gift like you're made in my image. I'm giving you this gift and this power of words. How are you going to use it? To build up or to tear down? You see, the tongue is a gift from God. And may we as his children learn to use it how he uses it to bring life and to bring wholeness. Healing, encouragement, maybe correction, forgiveness, reconciliation, and beauty. May we reflect the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. See, my Christian friend's words certainly made a great impact in my life. I could tell something was different about this man and how he spoke. Like clearly, it's like, you know, Nehemiah 8:10, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? Do not mourn. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Clearly, it was his strength. Despite circumstances or trials in his own life. Clearly, his words were fed from a different source than my own. And though I had a silver tongue, it always came to light what was really in my heart. It was extremely clear to me that his words were informed by a heart that was fed by Jesus regularly. It steered him closer to the heart of Jesus, and I could tell that this guy had something good in his heart. Because he wasn't like, I've reached it, I'm there. It was always this constant humility of like, this is what Jesus is teaching me. It was so clear that he was close to the word of God and close to Jesus. His yes meant yes, his no meant no, and his words brought life and were followed by being put into action, which greatly impacted my faith journey. And you know who that person was? He was actually here. He was here in Airdrie. He became a really good friend and a mentor eventually in many ways in my life. He helped me often navigate the basics of faith in Jesus, because when I came to Jesus, I was like, okay, here's everything I know of God. Here's the trash can. Okay, we're dumping that, and I got to start over. I don't even know where to begin. And so I bugged this guy constantly. Like, I don't know how he held it together. And he helped me navigate the basics. And Jesus began radically changing my life and flipping it upside down. And you know who that person is? His name is Brad Bristow. And he's your pastor. And I just want to celebrate your pastors here today. Because here's the thing. It wasn't just Pastor Brad. It was Matt Nickerson. It was Pastor Matt who took a chance on me by investing in me early on as a youth leader. And so many other regular congregants that I could sit here and name, but we don't have that kind of time. Because Jesus, the one who spoke the words of life to us, who placed us in our mother's womb, was in their hearts, feeding their words, feeding their actions, informing them of which thoughts to share and to not share. And by God's grace lived out through this group of believers at this church, I found a spiritual family who helped me get rooted deeply in Christ. And now I have the privilege of serving his bride, the church. When my family walked away because of my faith in Jesus, this family stepped up and stepped in and said, we're your family. Right, what's you're saying here? As family, we go. Brad means that. And so let's review and reflect, perhaps, on what God might be saying to you or I through this morning's message.
Number one, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what are you feeding your heart? Have you surrendered every part of your heart to him? Secondly, our words have the power to direct our lives. So are you filtering your words through the word of God and seeing how it stands? Or are you using it to get your own way? How is God calling you to use your tongue to direct your lives? How are your words helping or hindering you? And thirdly, our words have the power to impact the lives of others around us. Are you using your words to build up God's kingdom, to build his kingdom? Or are you using it to get your own way? How is God calling you to use your tongue to bring life this week? And so I'll close with this from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, which says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." I heard and felt those words of grace. What a testimony of this church, that many here have had a part to play in my life because you lived out God's word. You proved him true and loving. And so with that, let's pray, and then I'll invite Brad back up. Dear Heavenly Father, the tongue is a gift from you. Thank you, Lord, for how you've modeled how we are to use it. May we as your children learn to use it how you use it. Would your spirit empower us and direct us, convict us, and admonish us to show us the way that we are to use this wonderful gift that you've given to no other creature on this earth to bring life, healing, encouragement, correction, forgiveness, reconciliation, and beauty. May we reflect the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'll invite Pastor Brad up.
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family. And that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. Or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu. Or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
Everything I need. Ooh. Love, joy.